ever put like a ton of effort into something only to realize you're like totally off base?
Yeah.
Like you plan this epic birthday bash, you know, bouncy castle, the whole nine yards. And then your friend's like, actually, I just wanted to chill dinner.
Yeah.
Talk about a fail, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, today we're diving into how to dodge those disasters.
Okay.
By mastering the art of getting those user requirements right.
Yeah.
We're using this document. It's kind of aimed at business analysts, but honestly, the stuff in here, it's gold for anyone, any project.
Absolutely. Because it doesn't matter if you're building a website, launching a product,
right,
planning that party. Even
yeah.
You got to know what your users actually need.
So true.
So that's step one.
Okay, so break it down for us.
Sure.
Why is this whole user requirements thing so important?
Okay, imagine this. You're building a bridge, right?
Okay.
Months, maybe years, go into the design, the construction.
Big project.
But you forgot one tiny detail. You never figured out where people actually need to cross the river.
Oh, no.
So you end up with this perfect bridge, beautiful, functional.
Yeah.
But in the wrong spot.
Oof. Nobody's using that bridge.
Exactly. All that work wasted.
A bridge to nowhere. I see your point.
And this applies to anything, really.
Right, right.
If you don't put in the time up front to figure out what your users need and why they need it,
yeah,
you risk building the wrong thing.
Gotcha.
Waste time, money, energy.
Yeah.
And you end up with something that doesn't actually solve the problem.
And some unhappy users, I bet.
Oh, definitely.
Okay, that's a scenario I want to avoid at all costs.
For sure.
So how do we make sure we're building the right bridge, so to speak?
Well, our source here lays out 10 methods for getting those user requirements right.
10. Okay, lay them on us.
So you've got your classic methods, interviews, workshops, surveys.
The tried and true, right.
Exactly. Interviews are great for getting deep with individual users.
Around one.
Yeah, you really dig into their needs, their experiences.
Makes sense.
Workshops, on the other hand, those are all about collaboration.
Brainstorming.
Exactly. Get everyone together, different perspectives, build consensus.
Okay.
And surveys, well, those are your wide net.
Right. Reach a bigger audience.
Exactly. Get a broader feel for what people are thinking.
So it's like choosing the right tool for the job.
Yeah, spot on. And what's cool is this document doesn't just list them out.
Oh.
It actually brings them to life with examples.
Okay. I like where this is going. Give us an example.
Okay. Picture this. You're redesigning a customer service ticketing system.
Okay.
Now, you could send out surveys, get some feedback that way.
Yeah.
But actually observing those customer service reps, watching how they use the current system.
Interesting.
That can reveal stuff people wouldn't even think to mention in a survey.
Like what?
Like hidden bottlenecks, workarounds they've had to create because the system's clunky.
Oh, so it's not what they say, it's what they do.
Exactly. It's like you're doing field work.
I like.
Or say you're developing a new app. Showing potential users a mock-up, even if it's just a rough sketch.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting their feedback early on, that can save you from massive redesigns later.
Makes total sense.
Catching those issues early is key.
Okay, so we've got our classic methods.
Right.
But this source, it mentions some less obvious ones too, right? For gathering those user insights.
Oh, yeah. Things like document analysis, prototyping, and mind mapping.
Document analysis. That sounds interesting.
It's like archaeology for requirements, you know?
I'm intrigued. Explain that one.
So you're looking at existing documents, process flows, user manuals, even customer support logs.
Huh.
And you start to see patterns, pain points, workarounds people have developed.
Yeah.
It's like piecing together clues.
I love that. Like a detective.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then we have prototyping and mind mapping, which are all about visualization.
Okay, so we're getting visual now.
Exactly. It's a whole new way to see those user needs. Like you're taking those user needs and you're laying them out, you know, in a way that makes sense.
Right, right. Because sometimes words just aren't enough.
Exactly.
Oh.
So whether it's a quick sketch of a website,
yeah,
or a mind map of all those user goals.
Okay.
These visuals, they can unlock insights you might miss otherwise.
I can see that, yeah. Especially for those of us who think more visually.
It's not just about how people think, though.
Oh.
It's about communication.
Okay.
Like a prototype, even if it's basic,
uh-huh,
it helps you show your ideas to users.
Right.
Get better feedback.
So it's not just talking about a feature.
Right.
It's actually showing them what it might look like.
Exactly. It makes it tangible.
Yeah, I get it.
And that can be super powerful.
Okay, but how does this all apply to, say, someone who's not a software developer?
Sure.
We've been talking websites, apps.
Right.
But our listeners, they're doing all sorts of things, you know?
Absolutely. And that's the beauty of these methods.
Okay.
They're not industry specific.
So whether I'm redesigning my website, launching a new product, planning a community event.
Even that.
These methods, they can help me get the info I need.
Exactly. It's about understanding your users no matter what you're doing.
Okay, so we've got this amazing toolbox,
right?
But let's be real, getting those requirements, it's not always a walk in the park.
Oh, yeah. There are definitely challenges.
What kind of challenges are we talking about?
Well, this might sound counterintuitive.
Right.
But sometimes users don't actually know what they want.
Really?
Or at least they don't know how to say it. They might be so used to workarounds, bad processes.
Right.
That they don't even realize there's a better way.
It's like they don't know what they don't know.
Exactly.
So how do we like get past that?
That's where observation comes in.
Ah.
You watch how they actually work and you start to see those unspoken needs, those frustrations.
So we're back to being detectives.
Exactly.
What else? What other challenges are there?
Well, another big one is conflicting requirements.
Oh, yeah. I can see that happening.
Different stakeholders have different priorities.
Right.
And you got to find a way to make everyone happy.
That sounds tricky.
It can be. Communication is key there.
Okay.
And then, of course, there's the ever-present threat of scope creep.
Oh, the dreaded scope creep?
Everyone's favorite, right?
Not really.
Requirements change. It's inevitable.
Yeah, you got to be flexible.
Exactly. But you also got to manage those changes carefully.
So the project doesn't completely derail.
Exactly. It's a balancing act.
So how do we strike that balance then?
Right.
How do we gather enough info, but also keep things manageable?
That is the million-dollar question.
Yeah. Do you have the answer?
I think so. And it's actually the aha moment of this whole deep dive.
Oh, I like aha
moments.
It's not just about what users say they want.
Okay.
It's about why they want it.
Ah, the why behind the what.
Exactly. Yep. That's where the real insights are.
So we need to go deeper.
Yeah.
Beyond the surface level.
Exactly. Get to the root of the problem.
Okay, I'm with you.
Like a user might say, I need this specific feature. But if you ask why enough times, you might find out the real issue is something totally different.
Interesting.
And that can lead to a much better solution.
So we're not just order takers.
Right.
We're problem solvers.
Exactly. We're digging deeper.
Okay, this is all making sense, but how do we put it into practice?
Yeah.
Like, what are some tips for doing this effectively?
Okay, first things first, talk to the right people.
Okay, makes sense.
Get a diverse group of users involved.
Right, right.
And don't just rely on formal stuff like surveys.
Okay.
Get out there, observe them in their natural habitat.
Be a fly on the wall.
Exactly. Chat with them informally, really listen to their stories.
Okay.
And when you are talking to them, ask open-ended questions.
Not just yes or no.
Exactly. Give them space to share their experiences.
Gotcha.
And don't be afraid to clarify assumptions.
Like, what do you mean by that?
Well, sometimes what someone calls a need is actually a solution in disguise.
Huh.
You got to dig deeper.
Get to the real problem they're trying to solve.
Exactly.
Okay. What else? Any other tips?
Once you've gathered all this info, validate it.
Okay.
Go back to your stakeholders, share what you've learned.
Make sure everyone's on the same page.
Exactly. And then prioritize.
Right. Because we can't always build everything.
Exactly. Figure out what's truly essential.
Okay. So we're gathering info, understanding the why, getting everyone aligned.
Yeah.
But with all this info swirling around, how do we keep it organized?
That's a great question. And there's a really handy tool for this.
Okay, lay it on me.
It's called an affinity diagram.
Affinity diagram.
Yeah, it sounds fancy.
A little.
But it's actually super simple.
Okay, good.
You basically write each requirement on a sticky note.
All right, I can handle sticky notes.
Then you group them together based on similarities.
So like all the usability requirements together.
Exactly. Or security requirements or performance, whatever makes sense.
So we're creating a visual map of all those needs.
Exactly. And you'll start to see patterns emerge, clusters forming.
Cool. I can see how that would be helpful.
And once you have those clusters, you can start to prioritize them.
Figure out what's got to happen versus what's just nice to have.
Exactly. And there's a method for that too.
Okay, hit me.
It's called the Moscow method.
Moscow. Like the city.
It does sound like that, but it's an acronym.
Oh, okay.
Stands for must have, should have, could have, and won't have.
I love a good acronym.
So you basically go through each requirement.
Right.
And decide which bucket it falls into.
Must haves are non-negotiable.
Exactly. If you don't have them, the project failed.
Should haves are important, but not deal breakers.
Right.
Could haves are nice, but we can live without them.
And won't haves are off the table for now.
This is great. a framework for making those tough decisions.
And it helps manage expectations from the start.
So it's about gathering info, understanding the why, prioritizing.
Yeah.
But requirements can change, right?
Yeah.
As the project goes on.
Oh, absolutely. Things evolve, new info comes up, priorities shift.
So we got to be able to adapt.
Exactly. And that's why an iterative approach is so important.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more about this iterative approach.
It's like a continuous cycle.
Okay.
You learn, you adapt, you refine.
So we're not aiming for perfection right out of the gate.
Right. It's about starting small.
Okay.
Building a prototype, getting feedback.
And using that feedback to improve things.
Exactly. It's all about constant improvement.
This sounds a lot like Agile.
You got it. Agile methodologies are perfect for this.
So we're embracing the detours, the discoveries.
Exactly. And it often leads to better solutions in the end.
Solutions that truly meet the user's needs.
That's the goal.
This all ties back to what we talked about before.
The why.
Exactly. If we stay curious.
Yeah.
Keep asking questions.
Uh-huh.
Be open to new info.
We can create solutions that are truly impactful.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground.
We have.
Classic methods, advanced techniques, a whole toolbox for understanding user needs.
And don't forget the iterative approach.
Right, that's key. It's not about getting everything perfect up front. It's about being flexible.
And constantly learning.
But this brings up another question.
Okay.
How do we balance all this info gathering
right.
with keeping the project manageable? Like, what's the secret sauce?
Well, it's like anything, right? Get a few ingredients together, it's manageable.
Yeah.
But when you start adding more and more,
right.
you need a system.
Okay. So what's the system? Some crazy spreadsheet.
It can be a spreadsheet, actually.
Okay.
But it's more about the concept.
All right. I'm listening.
It's called a requirements traceability matrix.
Requirements traceability matrix.
Yeah, I know. It sounds a bit intimidating.
A little bit.
But it's basically like a master map.
Okay.
Connects all the dots.
What dots are we talking about?
So you've got your user requirements, right?
Yeah.
Design elements, development tasks, testing scenarios.
Okay, lots of pieces.
And this matrix, it links them all together.
So I can see how a requirement goes from idea to actual product.
Exactly. Every step of the way.
I'm starting to see why this would be helpful.
It's super useful for making sure nothing gets missed.
Okay. Yeah, that's important.
And it helps you manage changes.
Because things always change.
Oh, yeah. Guaranteed. So if a requirement changes, you can see instantly what else needs to be updated.
The design, the development, the testing.
Exactly. It keeps everything in sync.
So it's not just about organization. It's about agility, too.
Exactly. And the best part.
What's that?
It helps you communicate with everyone involved.
Ah, so everyone's on the same page.
Exactly. No surprises, no scope creep.
Scope creep is the worst.
It really is. This helps keep things on track.
Okay, so we gather the requirements, organize them, prioritize them.
Right.
And then we use this matrix to track everything.
That's the winning formula.
Wow. This has been incredibly insightful.
Greg, you think so?
I feel like I have a much better grasp on this whole process now. So for our listeners out there, I want to leave you with this. Eliciting user requirements, it's not just about ticking boxes.
Mm-hmm.
It's about truly understanding the people you're building for.
Yeah.
Their needs, their wants, their frustrations. So stay curious. Keep asking why.
That's the key.
And remember, sometimes the journey is just as important as the destination.
Well said.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone.
It's been a pleasure.